of in our heart, especially in these days. If we just knew what all we were missing out on when we let things come into our life that don't need to be there. And sometimes they're bad things. Sometimes they're things within themselves that are not bad, but they're just between us and the Lord. Heard a statement one time, the good can be the enemy to the best. Basically what he said, sometimes there can be some good things in your life, but they're not the best things. They're not what the Lord wants you to have. I don't want the good things. I want the best things. Amen. I want what the Lord has for me. Appreciate that good singing this morning. Let's turn to Psalm 105, if you would, this morning. Psalm chapter 105. Again, good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Trust you've already been blessed through the singing and a good time of fellowship. I echo what Scott said. Thank the Lord for good sounds of fellowship. I've been some places before that, I didn't think they wanted to be there. I didn't think they wanted me to be there, just to be honest. And I wanted to get out about as quick as I could. There's nothing worse than a dead, dry, stagnant, tight church service where nobody seems to want to be there. I'm telling you, I'd rather be anywhere than a place like that. That's just dead religion. But I'm glad to be a part of the family of God this morning. Glad to be part of a church that loves coming to church. Amen. Loves being together, fellowship. And I was in the office just a few minutes before service started this morning. I could hear the sounds of fellowship out in the hallway. And that's a good thing. I thank the Lord for that. Psalm chapter 105. I want to look at just a few verses in this psalm this morning. If you want to stand this morning, if you're able to, as we read the word, we're going to begin in verse 17. Read down to verse 22. This is a tremendous psalm giving a little history of the nation of Israel and how God blessed them and how God has put His hand upon them. And we're going to look at just a small portion of this morning. Psalm 105, beginning in verse 17. The Bible said, He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron, until the time that His word came, and the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind the princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we're just joyful this morning to be in the house of God today. Thankful, Lord, that You've allowed us to be here, and thankful for what You're doing in the service already today. Thank You for our good time in Sunday school this morning, learning about the things of God. Thank You for the fellowship we've experienced today and how important that is for the child of God. Thank You for the word that we've already heard, even before Sunday school. A good challenge from the Word of God, a good reminder of how much You love us and how much You were willing to pay the ultimate price that we could be saved. Now, Lord, I pray this morning as we bring the message that You've given us, that it would be a help to the people of God. Most of all, Lord, we would honor You and be obedient to what You've called us to do. And we'll thank You for all You do. Save that one today that's nearest hell. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I thank You for standing as we read this morning. Now, what we read to you in these few verses is just a little clip. It's just a little excerpt out of Psalm 105. It's a wonderful psalm that begins by saying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon His name." And it is a psalm of thanksgiving. The psalmist David goes back and reminds us historically about some events and some characters in the nation of Israel and how God worked in their life. And how that the reader should be thankful in knowing that we serve the same God that these characters served also. The first 15 verses of this psalm was sung at the carrying of the ark up from the house of Obed-Edom back to his place. And David penned this psalm and they sang it as they went up, verses 1 through 15. But I want to begin looking at verse 17 this morning as this psalm turns to an excerpt from the life of Joseph. Really, even verse 16 would be part of it, where he said, "Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread." This took place in the days of Joseph. This took place in the book of Genesis. You can read the account of the days of Joseph, where he came on the scene and his father Jacob, or Israel we might call him, sent him out to check on his brethren. And of course, if you know the Bible this morning, you know his brethren hated him, and they mocked him, and they took him, and they stripped him of that beautiful coat of colors that his father had given him, and cast him into a pit with all intents to, first of all, to kill him. And then Reuben stepped in and changed them from that and said, we'll just sell him. Well, they go back to the pit to get him and find out somebody else beat him to the draw, and they've taken him out. The Midianites took him out and took him into Egypt and sold him into slavery. When you think about the life of Joseph, you think about, my, what a life of bad circumstances to begin with. You think about how Joseph, just being obedient to his father, Jacob, just going down to check on his brethren, just doing what his father told him to do. And it began a chain of events in the life of Joseph that for a period of 13 years, he seemingly went down, down, down in the events of his life. But if you know the Bible and you've read the book, you realize that Joseph testified near the end of the ordeal. And even after he had ascended to the throne, being the second in command of the land of Egypt, Joseph testified. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I cannot think of a character in the Word of God, number one, that's more like Christ than Joseph, but number two, that there's any more evidence of the hand of God in someone's life. That Joseph was evident. You cannot read the life of Joseph and not see the hand of God sovereignly and graciously working in the life of Joseph, ordering every footstep. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And that's very evident in the life of Joseph. But I want to zero in a little closer this morning, really into verse number 19. We'll go back and look at verse 17 in just a moment. But in verse number 19, I want you to notice the first portion of the verse. The Bible said, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Now, this is specifically talking about Joseph in the 2 year span of time that he was in the prison house there. You remember the truth in the scripture and how the Bible tells us he was sold into slavery and he was taken to Potiphar's house. He became a servant of Potiphar. Joseph, being a faithful young man, was still faithful even when he was in Egypt. We're in a day now that seemingly people think, well, if I'm in a bad situation, that gives me the right to be unfaithful. That gives me the right to just throw caution to the wind and live like I want to. That's not the mentality of a real servant of the Lord. Joseph was as faithful in Egypt as he would have been back in Canaan's land. So he was very faithful, and in doing so, God elevated him in the eyes of Potiphar and elevated him in the house of Potiphar. And if you haven't noticed before in studying the life of Joseph, everywhere he went, God elevated him. No matter what environment Joseph was in, he got elevated. When he was in Potiphar's house, it wasn't very long. He became really the administrator, the governor, the overseer of the house of Potiphar. The Bible tells us Potiphar didn't even pay attention to anything he had. It was all left to the hand of Joseph. How could that happen? Number one, the favor of God. And number two, because of the favor of God, Potiphar saw something in Joseph that he could trust him and believe him, and he gave him that responsibility. Then you find Joseph being lied about by Potiphar's wife and cast into the prison there that we're going to look at this morning. And it wasn't very long he was in the prison, and guess what? He became one of the rulers of the prison. God elevated him one more time and blessed him. But I want to look at a specific phrase here in verse number 19. Look back with me, if you will, at the first half of the verse. The Bible said, until the time that his word came. I want to look at the first three words of verse 19, bring you this thought this morning on the simple thought of until the time. When we think about time this morning, we are constrained by time. Everything in our life is affected by time. When we get up in the morning, it's a time that we get up. We go through our day, we're constantly looking at our watch and constantly scheduling our schedule around certain portions of time throughout the day. We come to worship the Lord. There is a time to be at the house of God. So all through our life, we are constrained by time. You can't get away from time. I can't get away from time. There is a day we're going to go into eternity where we won't have to worry about time. But while we're here and living this life, everything in our life is constrained by time. But I'm glad this morning that even though you and I are affected and constrained by time, we serve a Savior that is not constrained by time. We understand that He was before the beginning and He is eternal. We understand that He is the creator of time. We understand that God always has been. He's not constrained by time. He knows the end from the beginning. And we find it very evident in the life of Joseph. So I want to look at this thought just for a little while this morning on until the time. Keep that in your mind if you would. Now let's back up to verse number 17. Let's try to paint the picture of what's going on here. In verse number 17, I want us to look at Joseph and see what I call here the servant. If there's ever been a servant, it was the man Joseph. Joseph is a very unique Bible character, and I believe why is because the Lord portrayed him as a wonderful Old Testament type of Christ. He's a very unique Bible character simply because nothing bad is recorded in the life of Joseph. Now, you say, was Joseph supernatural? No, he was not. Was Joseph sinless? No, he was not. He was a man just like us. He had flesh. He had a flesh nature. He had all the struggles and trials and heartaches and temptations and everything that you and I deal with. However, the Lord saw fit, that when the Holy Spirit was moving to pin down the life of Joseph, He saw fit not to reveal anything bad in his life. Joseph really is the picture of a wonderful servant. If you'll look in verse 17, first of all, we find his sending. Now, I gave you a little history, and most of you know it already. Joseph was sent by his father to go down to his brethren. His brethren took him, cast him in the pit. He was drawn out, taken to the house of Potiphar. Now, here he is in the prison. And notice in verse 17, the Bible said he sent a man before them. This he here is speaking about God himself. We see the hand of God. We see the sovereignty of God in the life of Joseph orchestrating every step that he's going to take. We find his sending. We must realize this morning, as we look into this trial in the life of Joseph, Joseph did not wind up in this trial just by circumstance. He did not wind up in this trial because of disobedience. We find that Joseph is in this situation that he's going into and that we're going to study about this morning. He's in that situation by the hand of God. Sometimes you and I, we don't mean to, but we think carnally instead of spiritually. And we think every time something difficult comes in our life, somehow or another, that's God judging us. And yes, sometimes He does, but quite often, it's not God judging us, it's God working on us. It's Him bettering us, it's Him developing us and bringing us to where we need to be in our life. So we find out from verse 17 that Joseph is in this situation that we're going to look at this morning because God has sent to him. He is under divine orders of the Lord Himself. And what a blessing that is to know. The Lord sent Joseph to Egypt. From the outside, it looked like Joseph was a victim of circumstance. However, God knew the end of the beginning. Joseph was not a victim of circumstance. He was a vessel of conservation. God was going to take Joseph. You and I, as Bible students, we know this. God is going to take Joseph in the book of Genesis from a very low place. And in just a few chapters, he is going to be second in command of the mightiest nation on planet Earth at that time. He is going to be sent before, again, a wonderful type of Christ. I could spend days, you could spend days, on talking about the typology of Christ in Joseph. Well, how wonderful it is. A Savior of the world, if you will. The Savior of His people. God sent Him before to secure what needed to be secured in Egypt because God knew there would be a famine. And God knew those souls would have to leave out of Canaan and come down to Egypt to find corn. And God so orchestrated everything and put Joseph by sending him, put him in that place that he needed to be to have everything ready that God's people could be taken care of. And not only God's people, the entirety of the world at that time. So what a wonderful sending we find of the servant here. Secondly, I want to think just a moment about his significance. Bible names have significant meanings. And the next part of the verse said this. It said, He sent a man before them, even Joseph. David here, the psalmist, is letting us know that this is Joseph that he's talking about. This is Joseph. He's revealing to us who he is. And by that name, we realize the name Joseph means Jehovah has added. I think about that. I think about, no doubt, Jehovah, God, he added to Joseph's life. But then once he added to Joseph's life, he took Joseph and he added to the lives of others. Do you know this morning, that's exactly what God wants to do with all of his children. Sometimes we read about Joseph and we say, well, you know, God did that for Joseph, but he wouldn't do that for me. God did that for Moses, but he wouldn't do that for me. God did that for Elijah, but he wouldn't do that for me. No, don't think that way. Elijah, Moses, Noah, anybody you want to call out of the Scripture that had a very popular, well-known name, they are no more important than any other child of God. You and I that are saved this morning, God loves us as much as He loved them, and He wants to do in our life just as He had done in their life and take care of us as He took care of them. So you find the significance here. The very name of Joseph speaks to the fact that God has added. Now, here's something else, and this is a message within a message, and I don't have time to develop it this morning, but here's your thought to go with. Before Joseph was used to add others, and before Joseph had addition to his life, you know what had to come first? There had to be some subtractions. Now, we don't like that, do we? No, we like addition when it comes to the blessings of God, but we don't like the subtractions. But if you'll notice in the life of Joseph, and really every other Bible character that God ever used, there's always subtraction before the addition comes. There had to be some things removed from Joseph's life before God could give him things that were better. Now, to begin with, it looked like Joseph had it good. But yet God wanted to remove some of that good so that He might could bring in some better. And there's a lot of times in our life God removes some things that are good and we don't understand it. And quite frankly, we don't like it. And we get upset and we think, Lord, what are you doing? That's something good in my life. Why are you removing something good? When all the while in the mind of God, and in His foreknowledge, His understanding of the end from the beginning, all in the mind of God, He has got a better plan down the road. Well, if we could just trust Him, and that's what Joseph did, even though Joseph had fears. The Bible doesn't record anything negative about the life of Joseph, but I'll promise you Joseph had fears. I'll promise you he had days of depression. I'll promise you he had times of hopelessness. He had times of despair because he was a man just like any other man. So you find his sending, his significance, and then we find his selling here in verse number 17. Notice what the word goes on to tell us. Who was sold for a servant. Now, it looks bad here when you go back in Genesis and you read, my goodness, Joseph was just going down there to check on his brethren and have a good conversation with them, make sure they didn't need anything. They grab him, they take him, they rip that coat from him violently, they cast him into that pit. Now he's sold as a servant into a foreign nation, a foreign language, a foreign people, strange food, strange customs, everything was unknown to Joseph. So it looks like, wow, this is bad. Joseph is now become a servant. But here's the thing about Joseph. Joseph was a servant before he came a servant. And that's very important this morning. Joseph served in the little things. Joseph was faithful to Israel, his father. Joseph did what his earthly daddy told him what to do so that when it came time for him to be a servant of his heavenly father, he didn't have a hard time transitioning. Let me just throw this out this morning for you young people that are still in the home. If you don't learn to be submissive to the authority of your parents, you are never going to be used of God. You better mark that down in big, bold letters somewhere. If you've got any ambition to be used of God, if you've got any desire in you for God to take your life and prosper you and bless you and use you, I'm telling you right now while you're in the home, you better learn how to mind mom and daddy or it ain't happening for you. Amen. And I know that's not proper English, but that's a fact. You understand what I'm saying? It's not happening. You got more chances of anything than that, because the Bible is very explicit about that. Here is Joseph now, because he was a servant to Jacob, when he's transitioned to being a servant of God and being in the hand of God and having to go through what he went through. Yes, it was difficult, but he had already had that pattern established in his life. The Bible said he was sold for a servant. Again, sold to the Ishmaelites by the Midianites. What no one realized at this time, we're talking about time this morning, what no one realized at this time was that he was really God's servant, not theirs. See, the world can kick us around. The world can abuse us. The world can mistreat us. But if you're a servant of God, you're not in the hands of the world. You're in the hands of God. If you've submitted your life through salvation and submitted your life to the will of God after salvation to serve Him and to love Him and to live for Him, there's nothing this world can do with us. There's no way the world can touch us, because ultimately we are in the hands of an almighty God, which is a wonderful truth this morning. So you see the servant. Let's move on this morning and get to the heart of the message. I want to notice now the suffering. And listen, it's like a preacher friend of mine said one time, and it's so true. He said, everybody wants to be a servant until they get treated like one. Boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, let's just be honest this morning. How many times have you thought, oh, I want to serve the Lord. Young preachers, I want to preach. And then all of a sudden somebody criticizes your message. Sunday school teachers, man, I can't wait till I get to teach that class. And then all of a sudden somebody disagrees with what you taught. Maybe a soul winner. You go knock on a door somewhere. Oh, I can't wait to do that. And all of a sudden somebody tells you, get out of my face, get off my yard, or I'm going to sick my dog on you. And then all of a sudden, we're not real sure we want to be a servant, are we? All of a sudden we think, wait a minute, Lord. Well, here's Joseph now, and being a servant now brings him to a point in his life where there's some suffering. And really, those 13 years of Joseph's life, from being cast into the pit to ascending up to the palace there where Pharaoh is at, those 13 years were a progression of servitude and a progression of suffering in Joseph's life. I've already mentioned to you, he served Potiphar. Yes, he had some good days, but then some suffering came. Now he's serving in the prison. He had some good days, but some suffering came. So notice this here. I want you to notice, first of all, the Bible draws attention in verse 18 to the feet of Joseph. Notice what he said. He said this, whose feet they hurt with fetters. Now, the Bible lets us know Joseph had to go through and experience some pain. If we're ever going to be used of the Lord, we cannot bypass pain. I wish we could. I wish somehow we could opt out of it, but we cannot do it. Paul said it so greatly in the epistle to the church at Philippi. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. But don't stop reading the verse there. There's more to that verse. He said, in the fellowship of His sufferings. If you're going to be used of the Lord, you're going to have to go through the fire. You're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to be tried. And Joseph was tried. The Bible tells us here in verse 18, whose feet they hurt. Joseph had to experience this pain to get to the place ultimately that God wanted him to be in. Now, I don't know how long these fetters were on the feet of Joseph. I don't know how long it took them, in hours or days, to get from the pit there where they drew him out and put his feet in iron and then took him down to the house of Potiphar, and then no doubt even put him in iron to some degree in the days of the prison. I don't know how much all that time was, but I do know there was a time of suffering in Joseph's life. There was a time of pain. There was a time of hardship. And during that time, it was not pleasant. During that time, no doubt Joseph had questions in his mind. Why did I get treated like this? I was just going to check on my brethren. I was just obeying my earthly father. I was just doing what I'm supposed to do. Now here I am. I'm in a pit. I'm now a prisoner in Potiphar's house. Next thing you know, I'm in the prison of the king, Pharaoh. Why in the world is all this going on in my life? Those are natural responses to suffering. And that's where Joseph was at. Even though the Bible doesn't record it, you and I have to understand he was flesh like us. And he felt those things just like you and I would feel those things. So we're told about his feet. These particular verses are not recorded in the account of Joseph in Genesis. God moved on David as he was penning this psalm to give us a little bit more light, a little bit more revelation about the details of the story of Joseph. You see, Genesis tells us that he was bound and taken there into Egypt and Potiphar's house, but it doesn't give us those details of his feet being hurt with fetters. You say, what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. His feet were hurt with fetters. There was pain that was induced into the life of Joseph, and it was not his fault. It was nothing wrong he had done. It was just the hand of God guiding and directing. And during this time, it was not a pleasant time in the life of Joseph. There are going to be times in our life that are not pleasant times. There are going to be days that are not pleasant days. There are going to be weeks and sometimes months and yes, even sometimes years that are not pleasant. And we don't enjoy the circumstances or the thing we're going through. But remember, God is seeing the time. God is not seeing just the moment that we're in. That's what we get fixated on. We get fixated on that time. If you've ever had any kind of trial in your life, you'll go back in your mind and you'll say something like this: I remember that time. I remember those days I was in the hospital bed. I remember those days when death came to our home. I remember those days when financially I was broke and we lost the house or we lost it. You'll go back in your mind and you'll remember a span of time that you suffered in. But in God's understanding, in God's economy, He's not constrained by that time. We are, but He's not. And that's going to play importance here in just a moment. We see His feet in verse 18. We see His fetters. The Bible tells us, with fetters He was laid in iron. Now, not only did they hurt His feet, but what do fetters do? They're chains. That's what fetters are. We don't use that word. That's an old English word. We don't use that. I don't say, hey, Brother Avery, take that guy and put the fetters on him. Amen. No, we say handcuffs, chains. Lock him down. Big zip ties, whatever they use nowadays. But he was constrained. And in these days of suffering in Joseph's life, when he had the fetters on, guess what you can't do when you got fetters on? Guess what you can't do? Boy, you can preach a whole message on the fetters. There's a lot of things you can't do when you got fetters on. You can't run. You can't go where you want to. You ever watch? I love these old westerns. Excuse me. The new ones you can't hardly watch because of the language, but I like the old westerns that are pretty clean, you know, and you see the guys that are on the chain gang and they put the chains on them, and man, they can just shuffle, they can just barely go just a little bit. When you've got the fetters on, you're kind of restrained, aren't you? That's the purpose of the fetters. And do you know in our life sometimes God allows fetters to come into our life? God allows some things to bind us. God allows some things to constrain us and to contain us. And He's not doing that necessarily to punish us or to make life miserable. That's not the kind of God we serve. He is doing that to keep us where we need to be, to channel us, to direct us, to bring us to an intended place of blessing. Now, you and I know that in studying the life of Joseph, we know it's going to get good. We know things are going to get better. But when Joseph was in these fetters and in this prison and in the pit and all he went through, he did not know when that was going to end. Time had him constrained. Time had him bound down. He couldn't run back to the house. He couldn't go back and see his father. He couldn't go where he wanted to go. He was under the almighty hand of God, and God had allowed these heathens to put fetters on the legs and the feet of Joseph and bind him down and get him to the place where God wanted him to be. I cannot help but think. Now, Joseph, remember this. Remember this. When Joseph is cast into the pit, the Bible is explicit in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 36. I didn't write it down, but I believe it's in 36. The Bible is very explicit. Joseph was 17 years old. Now, I want you to stop and think about that just a minute. You ever tried to tie down a 17-year-old young man? Man, you might as well try to tie down a puppy or something. You full of energy, full of life. I mean, that's still the age you run just because you can. You get to my age and you want to run, but you know better than to do it. Amen. Something's going to snap. Something's going to pop. You're going to fall. You're going to get embarrassed. You're going to visit the ER because you don't bounce back like you did when you're 17 years old. But you know how that is, especially some of you in here that's around that age. Man, can you imagine being bound down? Can you imagine being tied down? This was a very difficult time in Joseph's life. This was the worst, to say, as far as the world would look upon Joseph and say, wow, of all people. If Joseph had been an 80-year-old man bound in fetters, we would have said, yeah, that's sad, but that's not near as bad. He could have slept most of the time and been all right. Amen. But no, Joseph had life and vigor in him and energy. And now here he is. He's bound down in the very prime of his life. But God's got a plan for Joseph. Remember, until the time. We see his feet in the suffering. We see his fetters. But then we notice the forecast. Look at verse number 19. This is really where I wanted to get to. In verse number 19, notice now what the scripture tells us here. In this verse, it says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Now, the first half of this verse shows me the forecast in the life of Joseph. What is being said here is there was a span of time Joseph was bound. It was a span of time. We could look at the whole time of 13 years and say he was not able to do what he wanted to do. We could break it down and say even the 2 years in Pharaoh's prison, he was bound and incarcerated and couldn't do what he wanted to do. But there was a forecast in the life of Joseph. The phrase here, his word, look at verse number 19, until the time that his word came. This phrase here is not referring to the word of God. The next part of the verse is, but this phrase is not referring to the word of God. This phrase is referring to the word that Joseph was waiting on. What had happened? Do you remember the scripture? Do you remember the story? Joseph is in the prison. He's there. He's been elevated in prison now. He's a leader in the prison. He's still serving God. He's reading his Bible every day. He's praying every day. He's walking by faith. And all of a sudden now, as he is taking care of those prisoners, he comes upon the butler and the baker. You remember the scripture? And they have a dream, and Joseph interprets that dream, and he tells the butler, he said, you're going to get out of here in 3 days, and Pharaoh's going to restore you. And the butler says, "Woo, glory to God, that's great." I'm ad-libbing a little bit. That's not what the scripture said, but that's probably what he said. So then the baker, looking on the favorable interpretation of the butler, the baker no doubt says, tell me about my dream. Joseph tells him about his dream. He said, man, yours ain't good. He said, 3 days, you're getting out of here. He said, Pharaoh's going to take your head. Amen. You're going to be done with. You're going to be killed. And that's exactly what happened. But before they left the prison, do you remember Joseph speaking to the butler? He said, now when you get out of here, he said, you remember me. He said, when you get out of here, you tell Pharaoh that I'm here and I'm not supposed to be here and this is going on in my life and I'm not guilty and I've been down here and don't forget to remember me. That's what Joseph said. But if you know the Bible, you know what happened. The very next verse, beginning the next chapter, the Bible said 2 years passed and the butler forgot Joseph. He forgot him. He didn't think about it. He was so excited about getting out of prison. So here, the first part of verse 19 is the forecast. This describes the 2 years that Joseph was in this prison. Notice verse 19 again. It says, until the time that his word came. 2 years in prison. And thank God I've never been in prison. I preached in a prison. But thank God I've never been signed in, checked in, and the key thrown away. And if you have, I don't want to know about it. That's in your past life. Thank God for the blood. Amen. But I'm telling you, that's something I don't want to be, is in prison. I don't want to spend time in prison. I don't want to be behind bars. Can you imagine 2 years of Joseph in prison? Can you imagine 2 years of, okay, the first day that the butler and baker is gone, he thinks it'll just be a little while and I'll hear from Pharaoh. No word. The second day, no word. The first week, no word. The second week, no word. Weeks turn into months. Months turn into 2 years in prison. And he's waiting on that word. You imagine how hopeless Joseph must have felt. You imagine how many days he woke up and thought, Lord, I wish I was dead. Lord, I wish I didn't see another sunrise. Job said it like that. Job talked about the day that he was born and he wished it had never happened. He wished it had just kept his eyes closed and died. Job even hated the day he was born. I'm telling you, you can get in such a place of suffering that you wish you had never been born. It happens. And that's no doubt Joseph was thinking all that for 2 years in his mind. But the Bible said until that time, that's the forecast of what God was going to do for Joseph. But look at the next thought here. Look at his faith during that time, found also in verse 19. This is what I wanted to get to. He said until the time that his word came, which was the word of Pharaoh that's going to come to Joseph. Notice the next phrase, the word of the Lord tried him. What is that talking about? What does that mean? The word tried there simply means to be tested or to be purified. It gives us the same idea of what we've been studying in 1 Peter about our faith being purified and being more precious than gold and how that the heat is put to the gold and the dross floats to the top and the dross is taken off and the gold is more pure than when it went into the fire. That's the idea that we get here from this half of this verse in the life of Joseph. He's being purified all those 2 years when he's suffering. All those 2 years when he's waking up thinking, why is this going on? What's happening here? I don't like this. I wish I was out of here. Why he was waiting on Pharaoh's word. Do you see what the scripture said in verse 19? The word of the Lord tried him. And you say, what word of the Lord did Joseph have? Did he have a King James Bible? No, he didn't have a King James Bible. Did he have the writings of Moses? No, he didn't have the writings of Moses. Moses penned these down years later under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What did Joseph have? What word did he have? Do you remember back early in the life of Joseph? Do you remember there in the beginning of the story of Joseph where he came to his father and his brethren? He said, I have dreamed dreams. And God spoke to me, and God said that the other sheaves are going to bow down to you. And God said the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. That's the word Joseph's hanging on to. He's hanging on to the promises of God from many, many years before. All right, if Joseph's 13 years from the time that he's taken captive till the time that he gets out of prison, all right, if he's 2 years in prison, then we know 11 years is the beginning of the prison trial. So it's from 11 to 13 years before that was the word that God put in the heart of Joseph through those dreams. And he never let that word go. He never let that word pass. He meditated on that word. He probably recited the words of God in the dream in his mind time and time again. You know what Joseph did? Joseph did what Psalm 119 tells us to do, that I'm going to hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against him. That's what Joseph did. He hid those dreams in his heart. He hid that word. He hid those promises down deep in his heart. He never forgot them, even in the dark days, even in the tough days, even in the dreary days, Joseph kept hanging on. That's what the Bible said here. The Bible said the word of the Lord tried him. The word of the Lord preserved him. The word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord purified him. It held him strong. It kept him until that day that he hears the word that he's looking for from Pharaoh that he's going to get out of that situation. I want to say to us this morning, thank God for the power of his word. I'm glad God's word can hold us better than any chain, better than any anchor, better than any force. We have one of the greatest, if not the greatest forces there ever was, which is the power of the Word of God. It's powerful enough to change men's hearts. It's powerful enough to save sinners. I don't know anything else that'll do that. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You look at the truth of that scripture. He's talking about that word gospel, meaning basically the dynamite. It is the power of God. It's the dynamite of God. Nothing can do what the gospel can do. Nothing can do what the word of God can do. And the Bible tells us Joseph, during these trying times, he had faith in that word. Genesis 37:5. Joseph dreamed a dream and he told his brethren. They hated him yet the more. Nobody else cared about Joseph's word. But Joseph had faith and held on to that word. And it tried him through those 2 years and got him through to where he needed to be. Now let me give you this and I'll finish this morning. We see the strengthening now in Joseph's life because he stayed faithful to the Word of God, because he held on to the Word. And here's the thing. Here's what's so wonderful about the Word of God. If you and I hold on to the Word, guess what it'll do? It'll hold on to us. Isn't that amazing? What I mean by holding on to the Word, I mean by just keeping our Bible in front of our face. Staying in the Word of God, staying acquainted with the Scripture, reading the Scripture, meditating on the Scripture. If you'll exercise your holding, if I can say it that way, of the Word, then when you really need it, I'll promise you it'll hold you when nothing else will. It'll be an anchor. I know that's talking about Christ, but He's personified the Word. It'll be an anchor, both steadfast and sure, anchored within the veil. Amen? He'll hold on to you. It'll hold on to you. Let me give you three things. I'll finish this morning on his strengthening. Number one, in verse 20, he was loosed. The day finally came. Look at what the Bible said. The king sent and loosed him. Oh, what a day Joseph was looking for. In due time, until the time, in due time, the Lord loosed Joseph from his bonds that had prepared him to be used. I was reading after one commentator, and he made a statement something like this. I didn't write it down, so I'm not quoting it exactly, but boy, it struck me. He made a statement like this. He said, the hard days of the life of Joseph when he was suffering prepared him for the even harder days of him ascending to the throne, the second in command in Egypt. Boy, how true that is. You say, why do we have to go through suffering? Why do we have to go through trials? Why can't it just be easy on us all of our life? Because God has better things for us. And we cannot handle those better things until we're tried in the flames of suffering. But Joseph would have never been able at 30 years old. He was 30 years old when he got out of prison. He marries a Zenith. Pharaoh gives him a Gentile bride, another picture of Christ. I'm telling you, it's all through the life of Joseph. He marries a Zenith. He is 30 years old and he's second in command in the nation of Egypt, the greatest nation of the world at that time. God gives him great wisdom. He interprets Pharaoh's dreams. He prepares the nation. He said there's going to be 7 good years and 7 lean years. You better get the corn stocked up. He oversees all it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that now? I mean, I don't want to be mean this morning. Oh, I'm trying to be nice. We've got an elderly president that can't even get from point A to B. And I'm not being ugly. God help the man. But he's in control of the most powerful nation on planet Earth. Here's a man 30 years old, and God has so put things in him, and God has so given him wisdom. Why? Because until the time he stayed with the Word, until the time he just stayed with God, even though he heard, and we read about this sometimes, we think, okay, Joseph, 2 years in prison. Listen, 2 years in prison, let that sink in. 2 years in prison. He didn't have a television. He didn't have a weight room. He didn't write a book. He didn't go on Donahue and tell his story. 2 years in an Egyptian prison. You do know, the Bible teaches us, Joseph was a herder of sheep. That's what his family did. And they were an abomination to the Egyptians. I mean, they fought them as the bottom of the bottom. And somebody probably found out who Joseph's family was. And he's in an Egyptian prison as an outcast, but he stays faithful and God blesses him. And now he's loosed and God's got a big plan for his life. He's loosed in verse 20. Verse 21 quickly tells us, wasn't very long after he's loosed, guess what? He becomes a lord, little L. Look in verse 21. Bible said he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. He said, I want to be used of God. I want God to take my life and bless others. Well, we're going to have to wait until the time. We're going to have in the preacher world, we say it like this: you got to pay your dues. I know sometimes when I was young, and all young preachers go through this, man, I just want to be there. I just want to get there. I want to be where I look at that. I looked at my pastor. He was probably 70 something. No, he was later on up in his 70s when I surrendered to preach. But I'd look at my pastor even before then. Say, man, that's what I want to be like. That's my, and you know what? He had paid his dues. I hadn't paid any dues. You have to pay your dues. Paying your dues is just waiting on the Lord, being faithful, trusting His Word, going through the valleys, going through the trials, not kicking out on God, not throwing in the towel, even though you feel like it. Now here is Joseph. He has become a lord. Not only did God set him free, but He elevated him to the ruler of the people. Then notice this, and I'm done. Now he's leading. Look in verse 22. He said he made him lord of his house, ruler of all his substance. Why? To bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Do you get that this morning? A 30-year-old Hebrew nobody is teaching the senators of the most civilized nation in that day wisdom. Why? How in the world does that happen? Because until the time he stayed with God. Until the time he trusted the Lord. Until the time he held on to the Word of God. This is what I want to say to you this morning. I'm going to finish. I don't know what you're going through. Everybody's going through something to some degree. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you'll hang on till the time, if you'll stay with God until the time, if you'll stay in the book until the time, there'll come a day in your life God will do for you like He did for Joseph. There'll come an hour God will do something big in your life and in my life, something tremendous, something miraculous, something that we could not do ourselves if we'll just stay until the time. If we'll just stay with the Lord. I hope this will help you this morning. Let's stand. You have the message. Sister, if you'll come to the piano, they're going to get a song together. Ask you to bow your heads just a moment. I want to remind you the altar's open this morning. If you need to